Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to Brown Girl Bible.
Hi.
I can't
we're so breathe. Tired. It's fine, but we're here.
Listen,
we're present. We showed up.
And that's and all it's just so it's so appropriate for this episode, this,
this
chapter.
Episode it is.
Because Michael Todd said, I came to really get y'all girls together. He said, I came to absolutely get the girls together on this one. Because me and Taylor are feeling very lazy.
Yes, currently. We are. And Michael Todd is gathering us as we speak.
He said,
he's
your
getting
edges.
Getting us together.
Watch out. Because I'm going to snatch him up.
Literally. It's so crazy. We are recording our podcast. We're just a little tired today. We're super excited and thankful to be on Brown Girl Bible. I'm Taylor.
I'm Lauren.
And yes, we are sisters. If you didn't guess that.
Because we are sisters. And, we stand together.
Yeah, huh. Uh-huh. We make up one big family, but
we don't understand.
Our spots are different.
Okay.
So, yeah, but we are sisters. We are your hosts, your co-hosts for Brown Girl Bible. And for this season, season two, we are going through a book. We're doing a book review on Crazy Faith by Pastor Michael Todd.
Yes. And
yeah. How's it been so far for you, Lauren? What's your faith doing?
My faith is doing something, girl. It's out here really, really trying to do a little something on them. Yeah. This book has been good. It's been good reminders to really have faith. And, you know, I've talked about a lot, like my tendency is to really be skeptical, worst case scenario. So to really believe God and trust God for things takes steps of faith. Like, yeah, it's definitely a challenge for me always. So this is good reminders.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing testimonies about big faith things. And so it's really good to hear just even his stories paved throughout this book. The word says, you know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's awesome to hear real life stories of people and to reflect in the Bible how these principles are reflected as well. Lauren, before we jump into the chapter, I have a little get to know you question.
Oh my God. Love that.
So someone asked me the other day what it's like being a PK. PK is pastor's kids. We are pastor's kids.
Yes. Born of a pastor.
Yeah. It's weird to say pastor's kids since I will literally be 30 this year. Like, is right. that what we are? Like, when do you not become a pastor's kid? But
you're always someone's child.
That's true. Preach that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Why don't you answer this first, Taylor? Like, what has it been like? I feel like, yeah, it's very.
As a child. Oh, sorry, what'd you say?
Nope, you go.
As a child, I feel like it was fine. I feel like we were very blessed. I feel like people really loved us. We grew up in our dad has a non-denominational church. So it's not very, like, strict, like, you know, can't wear pants, like, really legalistic. It was pretty. Just kind of a more of a free culture, but still gospel-centered culture. So I feel like we are very blessed and we are very loved a lot because of our parents. They are just great people. You know, there were some eyes on us, but as kids, I didn't feel it. Of course, as a young adult, though, moving back to Cleveland, definitely feel a lot of eyes on us, more than I would definitely expect, for sure. And that has been a little bit tough as a young adult.
Yeah, I feel like the switch up was very real. Like, very much in childhood, it was very chill. I mean, we didn't really know anything different. They started the church 6 months after I was born. And, I mean, we weren't really out here being bad kids, doing anything crazy. I feel like in high school, you had your little moments, but it wasn't like it was super public. Like, we weren't really, like just out here trying to really publicly rebel, but I think definitely as an adult coming back to the city, I feel like, you know, like we have become our own people. We're making our own choices about our lives, and not just our lives, but our walks and our faiths. And people have a lot of different opinions on different things, so you just, it is a little bit like anywhere that I'm at in this city, I can run into somebody that knows me and has an expectation of how I should be. Also, it's just like anything that you do, like, people kind of pay attention. And obviously, like, not on a large scale, like, we not all that, like, but, you right. know, people see us and pay attention. So that's a little bit, like, yeah, even normal things in life, you just, like, I don't be wanting the attention like that. Yeah. I'm like, don't, yeah. But, so, it's interesting, but it's good.
Yeah, it's good, and I try to, I'm, like, such a rose-colored glasses person. I, like, always try to find such, so much good in it, and it's so fun, and I love connecting with people, but it can, you know, have its downsides, but overall, a blessing, really, because of God, and because of who our parents are, and because of our community, really. We've had a great community of people. So, just wanted to answer that little question, but let's get into chapter six. Chapter six is titled, what?
Lazy Faith. So, absolutely dragging us for filth, but this chapter is really just talking about when God has called you to something, and you're just too lazy to do it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's it, really. Like, you ain't doing it, you ain't taking the steps. Maybe not even because not because you're scared or anything. You're just lazy.
Yeah.
And that is tough to really encounter in yourself, but it's very, very real. So he just makes an argument for why, you know, this can be so prevalent in our walks and why we really need to fight against this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm glad he put this in here because I think sometimes there can be a misconception with faith. Like, if I just believe in my heart, like, basically me, like, wishing really hard in my mind, like, really thinking about it really hard and, like, yeah, then that means I'm having faith and God's going to, like, do a miracle and it's going to happen. And I love the verse that says faith without works is dead. Because it really backs up the concept of this chapter. Like, you absolutely have to have faith, which we talked about before is, like, logic, right? Plus truth. I mean, plus trust. I'm sorry. Plus trust equals faith. But faith alone, faith without works, is dead. And so the way that actual fruit of your faith is that you will work for it and towards it and whatnot.
I think that there's a lot of confusion that can tend to pop up around that verse and that concept. Faith without works is dead. Basically, like, oh, does that mean I need to work for my salvation? Because, you know, there's that correlation between doing works and faith. And, you know, faith is what saves us. It's our faith that God honors, and that's how we are saved. But basically, that is like saying, like, a body without breath is dead. Like, if you're an alive person, you're breathing. So, like, if you're a person who has faith, you're acting. Like, it's not about the actions that are saving you. But it's just like literal, a telltale sign of if you have the faith or not. Like, so just like breath is a telltale sign is someone is alive or not. Like, that's what you check first.
That is such a good analogy. That's really good.
Praise God.
Yeah. To not. That's all I got. That was the Lord.
He speaks sometimes every once in a while. Through me.
But that was really, really good. And, I love how he starts off by talking about using an example of lazy faith, which is Jesus, really the night before they take him away to crucify him, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane with some of his disciples. And he asks them, like, hey, can you guys pray? And Jesus is relying on his closest friends to be present with him in the brutal final hours of his life. And if you guys know, they end up falling asleep. And Michael Todd says, and they allow their flesh to take them out after Jesus has asked his friends to be present with him. And you can't help but wonder, what if Jesus has a special impartation just for them that night, but they missed out on it for a cat nap? God has amazing things for you, but if you don't confront your lazy faith, you'll end up sleeping on his promises.
Man, the most relatable part of the book.
Yeah,
hate that for me. Yeah. Wow, tough. No, that's very real. And you know what that makes me think of? Like, man, how does your because This is very real. Just being overwhelmed, tired, there's room and space to acknowledge that. But God is still calling us to take steps of faith and take steps. And I know I see in my own life, like what napping was for them in that moment, I feel like, and this is going to, I know people are going to be upset that I even brought this up, but it's media and social media for me. And let it convict you. Let it sink in, y'all. Mm. Just be there with me in this moment.
So you chose to also drag me today.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, cool.
No worries.
Because I can come, because I'm coming from my own neck, I feel like I'm allowed to come for the necks of anyone else that this applies to, which I feel like it really does apply to so many of us in our generation. It's just like our addiction to media, the amount of time we spend on media has been so normalized. And I just want us to really acknowledge that this is the world. Mm-hmm. It's the world. Like, the amount of time we're spending watching TV shows, movies, on TikTok, Instagram, you add all that time up, like,
it's wild.
What could God be doing in your life with those literal hours? Like, because we spend so much time just resting in the white noise of media. And I know that, like, this, for me, I just speak out of my own brokenness, has been such a stronghold. I really consider it an addiction because it's the first thing I think of when I am just over it, want to check out. I mean, it's checking out. Like, when I don't want to be present in my life, like, that is the solution. And that is, like, so, I don't want to put that on anybody, but I think somebody out there can relate to being in that place around media. And that's not what God has for us. Like, he has so much more. And just that lazy approach to, I mean, even, you know, just our day to day, like, that's real.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a societal norm. And so I think no matter where people fall on the spectrum of, like, an addiction or just whatever, if you don't watch it and aren't intentional, it could be just so easy to slip into. And most of us probably are way more addicted or at least overindulged than we think we are. I mean, it's wild. I know I am for sure, and it's very tough.
Yeah, and I felt like God was really calling me to do a media fast for a really long time. And I was just so addicted, I just, like, couldn't even do that. Like, I couldn't even imagine being, like, free from that, where it's just like, you literally never watch TV or movies or listen to podcasts or, like, just have blank space in your life. Like, but, like, I promise that God can do it. Like, taking that step of faith, I took a step of faith to do a secular media fast. And really, it was all media. I really only listened to Christian books on tape or audiobooks and Christian music, and that's it for 15 days. It was really hard. I'm sure people are not in a place that I am in with media, and they're like, that doesn't sound hard at all. But if you're like that's me, you would know that it was tough, but it was a very good reset for my expectation and my norms around what my time looked like and what I filled my head and space with.
Yeah, so, like, what was some of the results of, like, doing that for 15 days?
Listen.
Like, what you on now, girl?
Wow. Listen, the Lord did a lot in my life. Like, first of all, I mean, that was just huge in and of itself. Like, having a different perspective on media, really being free, because I was just in a place where I had to always have something playing, going on. Like, I always, like, during, like truly, like, people are like, how do you listen to so many podcasts? Or, like, whatever. Because, like, if I'm not talking to a person, I'm listening. Like, and it was just, like, all the time. Or watching YouTube, binge-watching TV shows, like, movies. So just, like, having a thought of, like, I could just have a day where I don't do any of that. And I just, like, read a book, or I just, like, have silence while I get ready for work in the morning.
Right, it's so weird.
Or while I drive to work. Like, like that, like deliverance in that way was really big too. I feel like there was actually space and silence in my life for God to speak to me and to work. Like, this feels so small, but like I had strongholds that I have been in for years on certain things. And during that fast, I felt God speaking into them and just being like, I have more space to really talk to him about the things that I wanted to do. And he was like, yeah, just take this step of faith. And it yielded some really awesome fruit in my life. So that was not very specific, but yeah, it was just a really powerful time.
Yeah, and that's so, so good. Even you creating that margin for God to just speak to you more, like that is really just a blessing. And even in the book, he talks about how someone's waiting on you and how on the other side of you being obedient and really, really utilizing your time and following in this crazy faith journey is other people are attached to it. Like you mentioned before, other people are attached to sin, but other people are also attached to the promise of God and you saying yes. And it makes me think of Esther when God called her and he called her. You know, she was in the position where she was the queen and the king had signed an edict to kill all the Jews. Her assignment, basically, she was going to go and basically plead with the king or ask him to not have that be the case so that a mass genocide of her people does not happen. And, you know, it's very fearful because he could have killed her in that time and in that context. And but a word was given to her that said, you know, if you don't do this, someone else will. And so I hear people say all the time, if you don't obey God, you know, somebody's not going to get saved or whatever. The, you know, somebody's not going to get something. I don't believe that. I think God's will get done. I just think you won't have the benefits of being part of it in that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it also says, like, you know, God has blessings for us, and like being obedient, working hard to be faithful is huge.
He says everyone wants a prophetic word, but most are too lazy to do the prophetic work. And that is very, very real. You know, God wants to build your character. He is not a spoiler. I mean, he loves to lavish us, and he definitely will bless us when we obviously don't deserve it, but he wants to build your character throughout this walk. And so he has for you to do some work, make some effort, and it's not necessary for him to do things in your life, but yeah, he wants to build your character through it for sure. I also loved how he talked about submitting your personality to your purpose based on what God is calling you to do. This is real, because for some of us, he really goes through, like, some of us really rely on our personality, and sometimes God is calling you to do something that doesn't fully align with your personality. And that's gonna take more work. So he kind of talks about, like, the introvert, like maybe God has it for you to lead a Bible study, and that's going to take, you know, maybe your natural gifting or talent being an introverted person is to really, you know, just quietly serve in the background, like you're really good at organizing things or whatever. But maybe God is calling you to step out, be more public, you know, be the one who gathers people, and that's going to take work. But if that's what God's calling you to do, doing it. And in the same way, like maybe if you're very extrovert and you're like, I want to live a spontaneous life, like maybe God is calling you to really be disciplined around something and to really hunker down and do it. But yeah, I love that, because I'm really into personality tests and all the different personality things. I can have full-blown 5-hour conversations about Enneagram. But I think sometimes we be leaning on them personality things, and I'm like, this is like your job. You can't just be like, well, I'm a this, so I'm not really good at this. I'm like, girl, I don't care what you're good at. People are paying you to do this. Right. If you don't read your emails, like, girl. So I really feel that, you know, those things are good to know ourselves, to understand ourselves, but it's for growth too, so that you can keep moving towards being better in those weak areas, you know, not just be like, well, that's my personality and goodbye and that's it.
Exactly, and God a lot of times sets us up like that, because Michael Todd in this book says, God uses challenges to fortify our faith and produce mm-hmm. perseverance in us that will increase our stamina to finish strong. So that is the purpose, like to increase our character. It's not always just going to be easy, you know, exactly what's fully comfortable and easy. He talks about the story in the Bible where some friends, their friend is paralyzed and they carry him on a mat to try to get to Jesus. They can't get through the front door. And so Michael Todd starts to talk about how they went through the roof and they had to rip the roof off. And he says, what have you deemed impossible because the most obvious way is blocked? Where I'm here to tell you, there's still the roof. It may cost you more and require more effort and make people stare at you like you're crazy. But how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to see restoration in your relationship with your siblings? How bad do you want to leave inheritance for your kids' kids? How bad do you want your marriage to thrive? How bad do you want to see people's lives transform because of your testimony? Aren't you tired of being on the ground where your miracle is so close to you? Are you willing to rip off the roof? Mm. And that's really, really real. Sometimes it comes from a place of desperation, and sometimes you just gotta, it's not ugly. I mean, it's not cute, but you gotta get to your miracle.
Yeah, and I love in that story too, he talks about a lot in the book, like really, like those men that carried that guy, like they did all that work and it was for someone else to have a life transformation. Mm-hmm. And so much of our faith walk, God wants to use us. He wants in other people's lives. He wants us to be servants. I've been really I was just doing a study in Philippians, and I was really encouraged just looking at Paul wrestling through serving for God. And that verse where I think it's in Philippians 1 or 2, where he's like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's like, he's very matter-of-factly like, honestly, like, I'm in prison. My life has been very hard. I'm in shipwreck, blah, 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 all this stuff.
He, so bad.
Yeah, just poor guy. Paul, I think about Paul, I just say, wow, the struggle is real for him. But he's like, honestly, it would be really easier to die. I'm really excited to go to heaven. Not even, like, any sadness or depression around that, like, how we think of it. He's just like, it would just be easier. I'm physically out here. Yeah. Like,
better to but, be with God.
Right, but he's just very, in a matter-of-fact way, is like, but, you know, it'd probably be, like, a more useful thing for me to be here, for you guys, you know, to help serve you guys, to lead you guys. And I know I can tend to have guilt and struggle around just that balance of retreating in Christ and really, like, serving in Christ and really being uncomfortable for Christ's sake. Because there's been different times in my life where I've been doing too much and I haven't been abiding in Christ, but I've just been working for the Lord. I'm serving in this ministry. I'm doing this. I'm blah, blah, blah. And that was not good. But there's also been seasons where I just have been like, I'm not doing anything at all. I'm not serving anyone. I am taking care of myself. I am leaving lots of space and I'm making sure I go to yoga class and blah, blah, blah. And so finding that balance between those two things has been difficult. But that verse, hearing Paul wrestle with that without putting guilt on himself either way, but just thinking logically, like, well, this would be better to serve. I think that was really helpful for me. And so we know that this, like, talking about laziness is tough because we're definitely in a season in life in our culture where people are realizing like the work culture is not good, and people are really considering self-care, taking care of themselves, slowing down. And God has that for us too. But in the midst of that, we cannot lose sight of the fact that God calls us to be uncomfortable for Him in some circumstances. He calls us to bear our cross daily. Like, that was not a cute little walk He did. It was a very gruesome walk where He had cuts on His back and He was carrying a super heavy cross for like a mile and a half or something. So we have to really be in tune with the Spirit for God's balance that He has for that in our lives.
Yeah, and that just reminds me of this last point in the chapter where He talks about faithfulness over feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so real. And in here, he talks about how we feel discouraged because we haven't yet seen results. We feel frustrated with God's timing because people are rushing us. It's easy to end up feeling doubtful and unproductive when we've put in faith efforts but are still waiting on faith's effects. Let me remind you of our definition of faith from Hebrews 11. It's the evidence of what we can't physically see. Faith is proof that what God has said will surely come to pass. I know what it looks like right now, but don't grow weary in well-doing. Remain consistent in your active faith and resist the urge to get lazy. So that's just real. Putting your emotions not in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Emotional discipline. That's something we have to watch out in our generation, because it's very much a, you know, whatever you feel is real vibe out there. And that's not always the truth.
That is so real. Like really, really stick with that. I encourage everyone to really stick with that truth. Like, your feelings should not be the leading factor in your life. Like, it should not be what you make, you know, decisions off of. It should not be how you determine truth. And that is very much the message in the world right now. Mm-hmm. What you feel is correct. Let me tell you, that it's not a way to live. That's not what God calls you to.
Yeah.
Your feelings are good to pay attention to. You shouldn't just shove down your feelings and just be like, real men don't cry, and just right. power through. Because your feelings indicate what you're believing. Mm-hmm. And so they can be aligned with truth. Maybe you're feeling sad because you lost someone.
Yeah.
You know, that all of that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But sometimes your feelings can be aligned with misconceptions or lies you're believing.
Right.
You feel depressed because you feel like you're a worthless person because your life didn't turn out the way you wanted, or you don't look the way you want to look. That's not aligned with truth. You are chosen by God. You are full of worth. So it's about addressing those misbeliefs and letting your feelings follow. So you don't make decisions off your feelings. If you're feeling worthless, you don't make a decision, well, I'm just going to live my life reckless, or I'm going to hurt myself or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a decision off that. You make a decision off what's true. I may feel bad, but I know it's true. So I'm going to decide to love myself, take care of myself,
right.
that kind of thing.
This is a reminder to fight that your emotions are good, but they're not your leader. And it is lazy to let just every emotion you feel lead you and take you where they want you to go. So you have the power through Christ to be in the driver's seat and let the Holy Spirit take precedence over your emotions. So that is just a great reminder about that, about our flesh, our emotions, and how God is not calling us to a lazy faith, but an active faith to rip the roof off and go for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Consistency is such a struggle. We know that. Trust and believe. Go back to season one of our podcast.
Right.
We fell off heavy, but
We back.
You know, we back. God is good, and He loves you whether you're being lazy or not. So praise Him.
So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, and we will see you guys, hear from you guys, connect with you next week.
Bye.